If there's one thing this world longs for, it's peace. It's peace. We long for peace in the Middle East between Jews and Arabs, in Afghanistan and Iraq. We long for peace in the inner cities of our country between races. We long for peace in churches that often face division and splits. We long for peace within families that face divorce and abuse. And we long for peace within our own hearts. The turmoil and the fear that sometimes nags at us at our very core. The theme of peace dominates the Bible. There are more than 400 references in the Word of God to peace. We start the story of this world in peace. God created the heaven and the earth in the beginning, and as He formed this world, He put the fish and the animals and the birds of the air on this earth, and then He created man and woman. And everything was perfect. And there was peace. And yet that peace was destroyed by sin. Sin entered the world and death came and peace was destroyed. And then on that first Christmas morning, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, came to this earth. And yet as He gave His message of peace, as He walked on this earth for 3 years presenting His earthly ministry, people rejected that peace. They rejected the Prince of Peace, and He was nailed to a cross and He died on the cross so ultimately mankind could have real and lasting peace. Peace in the heart. Peace in the life. And someday the Bible says that when we are in the presence of God, there will be peace. True peace will be restored in heaven. In fact, the Bible teaches us that one of God's chief attributes is peace. He is peace. He doesn't just talk about peace and want to try to be peaceful. He is peace. That's one of His attributes. But peace is hard to find in this world, isn't it? It's hard to find peace in this world. The United Nations was founded in 1945, and the goal of the United Nations stated is world peace. And yet in the past 71 years since the United Nations has been established, there has not been one single day of total peace in this world in these past 71 years. Someone has said that Washington, D.C. has many peace monuments. We build one after every war. That's true. Why do we build peace monuments? Because there's been war. And we get through one war, and we're on to another war. One war and another war. The question has been asked, how many peace treaties have been broken over these past 71 years since the United Nations came into effect? And the answer is, yeah. Who said that? All of them. You did, Jimmy? All of them. In one way or the other, they've all been broken. Someone else has said peace is that glorious brief moment in history when everyone stops to reload. It's funny, but it's sad. That is the world we live in because that is the world that has been impacted by sin. Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, we've been preaching through these verse by verse this summer. Let's begin in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain. When He was seated, His disciples came to Him. Then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, For they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Beloved, as we sit here today, at this very moment, nations are at war. Families are at war. Churches are at war. People are at war with one another. If there was ever a time in history that we needed peace, and not only peace in our own lives, but to be peacemakers, the time is now. Happiness is peacemaking. Let's begin with Roman number 1, the meaning of peace. The meaning of peace, because people have all kinds of definitions of peace. What did Jesus mean when He said, "Happy are the peacemakers"? What is peace? Well, first of all, biblical peace is not simply a truce. Biblical peace is not simply a truce. Peace is not an absence of conflict and strife. Peace is not simply a stoppage of war. It's more than that. Biblical peace is the presence of God which brings people together in love. Biblical peace is the presence of God and His holiness that bring people together in love. A truce is this. A truce is when we put our guns down and fighting stops temporarily. That's what a truce is. Peace is this. Those problems that led to that battle, led to that war, are addressed, and those enemies who put down their guns embrace. You're no longer at war. Instead, you love each other. That's a biblical peace. Not simply a truce, but it is where God is in the midst of that situation and people not only put their guns down, that people address the problems and they embrace. Individuals address the problem of sin in their life and they embrace Jesus Christ. Nations at war put down their armaments and God begins to work and they begin to care about each other instead of wanting to kill each other. The Jewish greeting, shalom. We all know shalom means peace. Shalom, peace. Well, as Jewish people did in Jesus' day and still do today, as they greet each other with that term, shalom, peace, it means something a little even deeper than just the word peace. It means this, it means I desire for you God's highest good. And when we say peace to a brother, we say peace to a sister, we're saying I desire God's highest good for your life. And His highest good is that we have peace with God, that we make peace, we have the peace of God in our lives. Now it's easy to greet a friend with shalom. It's hard to greet an enemy with shalom. And that's what we have to understand. When Jesus is talking about the peacemakers, He's not simply talking about being at peace with people you like. That's easy. That doesn't take any supernatural work of God. But the peace of the Bible, true peace, makes friends of former enemies. What is the foundation of biblical peace? Biblical peace flows from purity of heart. Last week we looked at verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And there's a natural connection here. Happy are the pure in heart. Happy are those who are having the presence of God in their lives because within them they are right with God. They have a purity of heart. And then it goes right into, "Blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers." You see, throughout Scripture, purity and peace are connected in many different ways. James 3:17 says, "The wisdom that comes from above is first pure." It's pure, it's right with God, and then it's peaceful. Hebrews 12, verse 14 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." So what do you mean, Pastor Dave? How does that flow? We've seen how every single beatitude flows into the next beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. How does it connect? this way. Biblical peace doesn't compromise God's truth. You see, the idea of peace today is compromise on every level. Let's be at peace. That means nobody can have any convictions. Let's be at peace. That means nobody can have biblical values in their life. Let's be politically correct. That's peace, right? That's our society. And if you aren't politically correct, you're a warmonger. You know, you're not peaceful. That's not biblical peace. Biblical peace doesn't compromise God's truth. It's not peace at any price. And the ecumenical movement that began years and years ago has promoted this over the last 50 or 60 years with this thought. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you love. It doesn't matter if you believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. In fact, it's better if you don't, then everybody can just get along. It doesn't matter if you believe there's a real heaven and a real hell or not, because that's divisive. Don't talk about heaven and hell, because then we won't be at peace. Jesus is the only way. That's very exclusive. That doesn't bring about peace. We have to be inclusive. It doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in Muhammad, if you believe in Buddha, if you believe in Joseph Smith. It doesn't matter, as long as you believe something, and then we're all God's children. You've heard that. Okay. When it comes to moral absolutes, whether you believe that a little baby is really created in the womb in the image of God or not, if you're for abortion, against abortion, no big deal. Marriage. Marry anybody you want. Doesn't make any difference. Yes, it does. Stick with me. This is a peace. It's based on truth. That's the Bible peace. Blessed are the pure in heart. We must be pure before our God. And those people, those of us who will walk with God and be right with God and know the Lord and are purified by the grace of God, are those that can be the peacemakers in families, in churches, in the world around us. And so biblical peace is built on a foundation of truth. Doctrine's important. Truth is important. But what does biblical peace do? Biblical peace works to conquer the problems that people have and seeks to build bridges through the cross, through Christ. Peacemakers desire true peace, not a shallow peace, a true peace. Peacemakers seek to find righteous solutions to the wars within people's souls, to the wars that people face in their lives. The meaning of peace, I know that got pretty involved there. But I want you to understand it's not simply a truth. God is in all real peace. His presence is there, and that peace is built on truth, God's truth. But now let's look at the man of peace, because if it's all about God, we need to understand the God-man, who is the Prince of Peace. Take your Bibles. We'll come back to Matthew chapter 5, but turn back to the Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 9. Because in Isaiah chapter 9, hundreds of years before the Messiah came, on that first Christmas morn, we find a prophecy given. And this is a verse that we turn to in December. This is a verse that I have preached often around Christmas time, because it's a prophecy of the fact that Jesus would come. But here at the end of August, I want us to focus on this Christmas verse because it goes right in hand with what we're talking about. The man of peace. The man of peace. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The man of peace, he is the Wonderful Counselor. Jesus Christ, who came to this earth is first referred to as the Wonderful Counselor. And I want us to understand, and I'm going to be very brief in this section, but it's important to understand the Man of Peace to understand Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. He is the Wonderful Counselor. Christ alone has the answer to the world's confusion. Why isn't there peace in this world? Because there's so much confusion. There's confusion about right and wrong, black and white, all kinds of problems. But the Bible says Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the one counselor that can meet the needs in every heart. And by being a Wonderful Counselor and counseling the hearts of His children, He gives us peace. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's also the Mighty God. Christ alone has the power to bring order out of chaos. As our Wonderful Counselor, He brings counsel to our hearts. But as the Mighty God, He empowers us to do it. I counsel people. I try to give them biblical advice. Sometimes it seems to help, sometimes it doesn't, but I do my best to counsel people in various areas and issues of life. But here's the thing. Once I give the counsel, whatever that counsel may be, and that person leaves my office, I don't control their lives. They have to live it. And I can't empower them to do what's right. But as the Mighty God, Jesus can. Jesus can bring peace to our lives because not only does He have perfect counsel for our hearts, but He can give us through the Holy Spirit the power to do what we need to do, what is right. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. That literally means He's the Father of all eternity. Christ alone can make the complex simple. Why? Because He created it all. In the beginning, God did what? In the beginning, God what? Created the heavens and the earth. He created it all out of nothing. Ex nihilo. Out of nothing, He created this world. And so He can make the complex simple. You see, our everlasting Father doesn't run a bureaucracy. It ain't Washington, D.C. As the everlasting Father, it's not even a democracy. He is all-powerful. He is in charge. A father and a little boy are standing at a busy street and the cars are whipping by and they're waiting for that light to change from red to green. That little boy is nervous because he's afraid of those cars whipping by. What does Daddy do? Puts his hand down, grabs a hold of his little boy's hand. The light changes. He said, "Come, son, walk with me." He takes his hand and he safely leads him to the other side. Peace in the heart of that little boy. Beloved, in our lives, we come to those intersections where the traffic is whipping by and our heads are spinning and we don't know what to do. We have an everlasting Father. We reach up and grasp His hand. And when we do, that's when we find peace that surpasses all understanding. And then, He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. You see, Jesus was sent to bring peace. Peace to a confused world. Peace in the heart of man. And it is Christ alone who can settle the deepest conflicts within our lives. It's not the United Nations. It's not the Secretary of State. It's not President Obama. It's not President Putin. They don't make peace. Not lasting peace. Only the Prince of Peace can bring true and lasting peace to nations, to homes, and especially to the hearts of individuals. And so I say all these things to say this, becoming a peacemaker, blessed are the peacemakers, begins with a personal relationship with the Man of Peace, Jesus Christ. We can have peace in our lives. We cannot be peacemakers until first there's a relationship with the God of heaven through Christ, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the man of peace. That brings us then to the messengers of peace. Because the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And so, peacemakers are those who spread the message of peace. And you and I are called upon, if we have the peace of Christ in our lives, to be peacemakers. Who are these messengers of peace? First of all, the messengers of peace are those who have experienced peace through Christ. They've experienced peace through Christ. No one can truly be a peacemaker until he or she has met the Prince of Peace through salvation. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's a peace based on truth. Therefore, being justified by faith, we need to come to that place in our lives when we respond to the Holy Spirit at work in our lives and we look to the Lamb of God. And by faith in Jesus Christ in salvation, we receive the peace of God in our lives. So my question today before we move on is, do you honestly, sincerely have that peace in your life? Are you saved? You know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You have to experience the peace of Christ in order to be peacemakers. And then no Christian, no one who has believed in Jesus can truly be a peacemaker unless they are experiencing peace from God in their own heart on a daily basis. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious or don't worry about anything. But let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When it says keep your hearts and minds, it means it will garrison about. A garrison is a troop of soldiers that are around the fortress and they protect the fortress from the attacks of the enemy. The Bible says that we don't have to be worried. We don't have to be anxious as the children of God. But through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we can let our requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will garrison our hearts, will protect our hearts, will guard us. So the second question is this: if you are truly saved and you have peace with God through Christ Jesus, what's your relationship like Him on a daily basis? Are you experiencing peace for the journey? Are you experiencing peace at times when it's not real peaceful around you through walking in the Word of God, trusting in your Lord in good and in bad? Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Listen, folks, I know it's easier said than done. I try not to ever come up here and act like a know-it-all, that I've got everything just perfect in my life, because it's not. I worry about things. If there's conflict or, you know, among people in the church, it burdens me. And I always have to struggle with, then come to the place where I said, I got to give it to you, Lord. And I want to do the best I can to be a peacemaker or whatever function God has for me in the situation. But I know we worry about our health. We worry about loved ones. We worry about problems. We worry about finances. I know that. But the Bible says that we are not to worry, but we have to give it to the Lord. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You say, Pastor, explain it to me. I can't. That's why the Bible says it surpasses all understanding. I can't explain when the battle is rough and the waves are crashing, how there can be peace in the midst of the storm, except that it's a supernatural gift of God. as we walk with God. So we have peace in our hearts through a relationship with Jesus Christ of salvation. We have peace in our hearts through a relationship daily with the Lord. And so the messengers of peace have experienced peace through Christ. The messengers of peace point others to peace through Christ. Do you know what the primary way you and I are to be peacemakers are? Evangelism. Sharing the gospel with people who aren't at peace because they're on their way to hell. The most important thing we can do to be peacemakers is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are lost in their sin. Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of what? Peace." The gospel of peace. You see, the greatest privilege of any believer is to help someone at war with God find peace with God. We can do that by sharing our personal testimonies. We can share God's plan of salvation. We can hand a tract to someone that explains the gospel. We can bring them to church. Because ultimately, somewhere, whatever the topic of the message, at least briefly, it's going to turn to the gospel. Sharing how those at war with God can be at peace with God through faith in Christ. The messengers of peace also help people at peace with each other through Christ. They help people at peace to be at peace with each other through Christ. Where are some places people need peace today? In the home? Families struggle. Families deal with divorce and abuse and addictions. Families need to experience the love and peace of Jesus Christ. And we're to be peacemakers that way. We're to help people. We're to love people. We're to pray for people. We're to do what we can to help people that have been torn apart in their families be at peace with the Lord. Another area is peace in the church. Churches ought to be an oasis of peace in a hostile world. We come to church and we've watched the news all week and we've seen the stuff around the world and close by that causes heartache and grief. We ought to come to church and say, I want to meet with God today. Whatever warfare is taking place outside these walls, we come in the peace and love of Christ. Yet even in Bible-believing churches and the church's people, professing Christians gossip and they criticize and they cause strife and division. Folks, we can't be a part of that. Ever. Ever. We need to pray for peace and unity in homes. For peace and unity within churches. We need to model that genuine love for one another. And then our world needs peace. So how do we bring peace to this world? Well, we don't. We don't. But as peacemakers, we pray for God's peace. The Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for peace in this world. A peace based on truth. That as the gospel goes to the ends of the earth, that God will use that gospel to bring peace in people's hearts and peace among people. We pray, we live in peace with one another, we model peace by our lives. We preach the gospel of peace and we love even our enemies. And pray for them that they'll have the peace of God within their hearts and lives. That brings us then in verse 9 to the marks of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Why? For they shall be called sons of God. What are the results of being a peacemaker? What are the marks of peace? They shall be called the sons of God. The marks of peace are these. First of all, a place in God's family. A place in God's family. Peacemakers are called the sons, the children of God. If you and I are peacemakers, by that I mean we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then because of our peace, we are striving through the Holy Spirit's enablement to make peace with others, to help people make peace. Then the Bible says we are going to be called the children of God. Peacemakers are a part of God's forever family. Wow. Isn't that great? If you and I are peacemakers today, we are called the children of God. We are a part of His forever family. I'm proud to have the name Buckley. I'm proud. And I hope my children are proud who have that name upon them, Buckley. But you know what? I am even more proud, more blessed to have the name Christian upon me. They shall be called the children of God. They shall be called Christians. Christians. A part of God's forever family. If we have made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we become peacemakers. And if we're peacemakers, we have a place in God's family. Secondly, not only a place in God's family, but a position of honor. We are called the sons of God. The word sons in this verse, and it can refer to male or female, it means the children. The sons means a position of great dignity and honor within the family. A position of great dignity and honor within the family. Folks, we are loved beyond all of God's creation. We're loved beyond all of God's creation. God loves us more than the animals. Did you know that? There are people that try to say, you know, man is on the same level as animals. No, we're not. That's so wrong on many different levels. But God loves us beyond the animals, beyond the birds, beyond the fish. He loves us beyond the mountains of Colorado or the oceans of the world. Of all His creation, we are special. We have a position of honor. We are the apple of His eye. The apple means the pupil, the most sensitive part of the eye. We are special to Him. It says we shall be called sons of God. The word called is continuous action. That means that when we are called to Him in salvation and we become His child, He continually calls us His children. We'll always be called His children. We can never leave His family. We can never lose our salvation. A peacemaker has a place of honor in God's family now and forever. Hey, don't you want to be a peacemaker? What a blessing. What a privilege. The marks of peace are this. We have a place in God's family. And we have a position of honor. Position of honor. And so, is your life filled with the peace of God today? Do you know the Lord? Are you saved? If you know the Lord, are you a Spirit-filled believer striving to walk in His presence each day? And if your life is filled with the peace of God, are you a peacemaker? Do you help others come to peace with God through your life and your lips? Do you point people to the Prince of Peace? Do you help people to be at peace with one another in the home, in the church, in society? Francis of Assisi wrote this poem hundreds of years ago, and it's at least the first part is pretty well known, but let me read through it for you. Lord, make me an instrument of Your peace. Where there is hatred, let me show love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we have been born to eternal life. When we die to our sin, we die to death In Christ, we're born to newness of life, and we indeed have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and we can be those peacemakers. Beloved, peacemakers are blessed. Are you one of God's peacemakers today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that the Word would take deep root in our hearts and lives today. Your heads bowed and eyes closed. Before we stand and sing a song and we're dismissed, do you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life when you have responded to the Spirit of God and cried out in saving faith, said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, save me. Give me your peace. If not, in a moment we're going to stand and sing, and you feel free to come and take my hand and say, Pastor, I need counsel, I need help to know Jesus Christ today as my Savior. If you know the Lord, how much consideration have you given in your life to being a peacemaker? To be a peacemaker, you need to be walking with the Lord. You need to have God's peace reigning in your life. That doesn't mean every minute of every day, because all of us struggle with worry and doubt. But it means when we do struggle with worry and doubt, we go to the Lord, we wrestle with Him, we find that peace through His Word, through His presence in our lives. But when we have that peace, are we telling others about the Prince of Peace? When's the last time in some way you shared the gospel with somebody? By testimony, by witness, by a tract, by inviting somebody to the church. The greatest way we can be peacemakers is through spreading the gospel. But then how about with others that maybe know the Lord, maybe in your own home, maybe in this church, maybe at work? Are you one that stirs up problems? Are you one that seeks to be a peacemaker? Peace based on truth. Peace based on the Word. The upside is so wonderful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers. Why? We're called the children of God. We have a place in God's family. We are heirs. We have a place of honor. Father, thank You for this truth. And now, Lord, continue to work in our hearts as we close this service and as we go our separate ways this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.